carol for today is The Little Drummer Boy. I have always been fascinated with drums and had the opportunity to play a snare drum for an event when I was in college. Each fall, we had a yearly celebration, spirit celebration on campus called Bison Day. And each of the social clubs would compete to see who could come up with the most creative costumes and show the most spirit. That year, our social club decided to be Confederate soldiers. Now, I know we were on the wrong side of that war, but we were from Tennessee. And you don't dress up as Union soldiers in Dixieland. So anyway, our costumes were designed to look like the Confederate soldiers. We came up with cheers, and then we figured out that we needed a drummer boy, since drummer boys were significant during the Civil War, and I'll explain that later. So I said, well, I think I can do that, and I went back to my band director from junior high school, and I asked if I could borrow one of the marching snare drums. He set me up with a drum and straps to hold it, and I practiced various cadences and was ready to lead the troops. We walked around the campus on Bison Day, and I played that snare to the best of my ability, though many suffered headaches by the end of the day. It was a blast, and I believe we won second place that year. While I pursued that passion later in life, I decided to play a drum set. You guys remember Smitty and Nancy Woodall? Well, Smitty said he would give me some drum lessons. And so I tried my best, but for some reason I couldn't get my feet and hands coordinated together. And after a few lessons, Smitty, in his kind way, said, Tamara, I think you need to stick to the guitar. And that was the end of that. However, I've always loved this carol, The Little Drummer Boy, mainly because of its message. Let's look at the history. Catherine Kennicott Davis wrote the lyrics to this carol in 1941. It was an adaptation of a Czech lullaby. She called it The Carol of the Drum and recorded it in 1951. In 1958, the Harry Simone Chorale, they recorded it, and they're the ones that made it famous. They called it The Little Drummer Boy. They changed the name. They used bass and tenor vocals to call out the drum sound, that rum, rum. Here we go. I'm going to play this for you. Can you hear that? You remember that recording? Well, that recording was the one that made it famous. And let's see, where's my other little gadget here? Here we go. Karen said I need to keep up with the time. Okay. So I'll try to do that. But this recording was the one that made it famous. In fact, it was on the U.S. singles chart for 4 consecutive years. Side note, when Catherine Davis heard that her song on the radio and that it was called The Little Drummer Boy, she was miffed. But she has been given credit as the writer and composer of this beloved carol. It was recorded by Johnny Cash, Joan Baez, Dolly Parton, as a duet by Bing Crosby and David Bowie, and countless others. To understand the title, it helps for us to look at the service of drummer boys in military times, especially during the Civil War. They served many roles on the field and back at home. The stories of these drummer boys provided hope and inspiration to those at home concerned about their loved ones on the battlefield. And while I'm not sure if the drummer boys of the Civil War were the ones that inspired Catherine Davis to pen these lyrics, she told a story about a young drummer boy that would speak hope and restore hearts of many a soul for years to come. Drummer boys played a critical role in the American Civil War. They served from ages 12 to 17. Boys had to be at least 18 to be in combat, to be combat soldiers. Because of so many of the younger boys were anxious to be a part of this war effort, they enlisted as musicians. Drum beats were an essential communication tool for Civil War soldiers. They were used in camp, on the march, and on the battlefield. In camp, drummer boys would call the soldiers to meals, to muster for drills and sit call. And on the march, they kept this lively cadence, which would boost the morale of the soldiers. During battles, soldiers couldn't always hear the voice of their commander, but they could hear the sound of a drum. Drummer boys were required to master over 26 different drum calls or cadences. These coded signals were used to transmit commands over the battlefield din, directing troops to assemble, attack, or retreat. Both the soldiers and drummer boys had to memorize the sounds of the beat patterns and their meanings. Drummer boys held a position of courage and extreme vulnerability. They were often required to lead the troops on the battlefield, yet they carried no weapon for defense. Once fighting commenced, they were trained to retreat to the rear, positioning themselves behind the troops. And there they served roles such as surgeons, assistants, messengers, and stretcher bearers carrying wounded soldiers. And many of the things they saw and experienced were much more than what I believe a young teen should endure. I'd like to share a story of a heroic drummer boy that took place during the retreat of the Battle of Malvern Hill. Though it was a Union victory, they were forced to retreat for fear of a flank attack from General Lee. It was a grueling trek. You can see it on the left side going down along the James River. It was a grueling trek back home. Heavy rain and wagon traffic made the roads impassable, forcing soldiers to abandon their knapsacks, muskets, and all kinds of gear. Amidst this chaos, 11-year-old drummer boy, Willie Johnston, if you'll show that picture, was the only musician to make it home with his instrument. On return, he was asked to play his drum for his division, which boosted their morale. His action led President Lincoln to recommend him for the Medal of Honor. He was formally presented the award when he was 13 and remains the youngest recipient in history. Our passage today is one that our dear Dawn has shared with us more than once in the past few months. I truly believe this passage is significant for our church, 2 Corinthians 4:7. I would like for us to study this passage through the lens of the little drummer boy. So let's read it together, if you would. It should be on your sheet at the top. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Clay jars are quite fragile. I struggle to keep them from being chipped or shattered. In reflection on this passage, Craig Keener states, earthen or clay jars, as opposed to bronze ones, were readily discarded because clay was always available. Such containers were cheap and disposable. If they were broken or incurred ceremonial impurity, an odd container for such a rich treasure. What is this treasure? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his message of salvation, hope, and the light of the glory of God that shines in our hearts. God chose us, broken vessels, to place such a rich treasure. And to our carol, anyone who has ever teared up during the little drummer boy has more than likely captured the essence of this song. So let's look at the lyrics together and see the connection with this passage. The song begins with a simple invitation from the Magi to the drummer boy. Come. It's very simple and yet so profound. Jesus used the word come many times in the Gospels. To his disciples, come, follow me. To those needing rest, come to me, all you who are weary. To witness miracles, come and see. To the thirsty, come. As an invitation to Peter to walk on water. Come. So what come has Jesus spoken to your heart this week? What invitation has he extended to you? Have you at times felt like the Lord was calling you to walk on water? Like I'm feeling right now. Let's look at the drummer boy's response to come. He got up and went right away to see the newborn king. The verse tells us that their invitation included bringing their finest gifts to lay before the king. And this young boy knew he had no gift to bring, but he went anyway. We don't know the length of the journey he took to see the newborn king, especially since it's fictional. But we'll just have to let our imaginations determine that. Let's look at his response when he saw Jesus. I can't help but imagine he was overwhelmed looking in the eyes of baby Jesus. His words, little baby. Then I am a poor boy too. He identified with Jesus. He made that connection. Then this line gets me every time. I have no gift. I promised myself I wouldn't start crying. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. I can't help but believe each of us have often felt that we have no gift to bring. But what we do have to give, or that what we do have to give is inadequate, or that we don't feel qualified for what the Lord has called us to do. But I have some encouraging news. We are in good company. The Word of God is filled with examples of those who did not feel qualified or up to the task before them. I'd like for us to look at a few of them today. Moses comes to mind right away. God met with Moses in the burning bush in Exodus 3, gave him directives to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He told him what to say to the Israelites to let them know that God had chosen him, as well as what to say to the authorities in Egypt. Immediately, Moses began telling Holy God why he was not qualified for the task. And of all the reasons he said, he chose to say that he was not eloquent of speech. Right after God told him exactly what to say. Go figure. God's response to him was so profound. He asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Moses said, "A staff." God told Moses to take that staff and use it to perform miracles so that the Israelites and Egyptians would know that it wasn't his power, but God's alone. And Moses, through a journey of 40 years, held that staff in his hand, freed them from Egypt, and led the Israelites to the Promised Land. Another example is found in the Gospels when Jesus sent the apostles out two by two. I'll share the account from Luke 9, 1 through 6. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Can you imagine? These disciples had been walking with Jesus and had seen him heal the sick, cast out demons, and forgive sins. And now he's given them the authority to do the same and wants them to do it. I imagine they were quaking in their sandals, feeling inadequate for the task. The two accounts in Matthew and Mark state that he sent them out two by two. He chose their partner. Did you ever think about that? If you've seen this episode in the series, The Chosen, Jesus put the most unlikely pairs together. I imagine that was the case because he knew their strengths would fill in the gaps for each other. Plus, I believe he sent them in twos to encourage each other, to process the events of the day together, and to speak life and pray for each other in preparation for the next day. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic." And he wanted them to rely completely on God to provide everything they needed. Whatever house you enter, stay with them. And leave there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And as a dear friend has said to me often, if you are not received, let it go. Walk away. So they departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and healing diseases everywhere. So let's go back to our passage in 2 Corinthians 4:7. But they had this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. The disciples had this treasure within. They had what they needed for the task. And I would have loved to have been there when they returned and shared with Jesus all that God had done through them on their journey. What we do know from the accounts in Mark and Luke is that they shared the good news. They cast out demons, anointed the sick with oil, and cured them. Now, can you imagine the look in Jesus' eyes, the tears rolling down his cheeks, and the smile on his face as they shared those stories? One final example is the Samaritan woman at the well. She was certainly an unlikely character to hold such a treasure. Did you know she was the first person to whom Jesus revealed his identity as the Messiah? I'll share the account from John 4. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is Christ, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." At that time, the disciples walked up questioning why Jesus would be talking to a Samaritan woman. Then the woman left quickly and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. As a result of her testimony, they sought out Jesus and spent 2 days with him. John tells us, and many more believe because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Lord saw this broken vessel, one who carried much shame. He trusted her with this treasured message that he was the Messiah. She immediately left her water pot at the well and began sharing the good news of Jesus. Back to our drummer boy story. The little boy stood or knelt down by the manger and saw baby Jesus. Knowing he had no gift to bring, he asked him, "Shall I play for you on my drum?" Mary nodded yes. The ox and lamb kept time. The drummer boy played for Jesus. The carol tells us he played his best for him. Then baby Jesus smiled at him, the boy and his drum, the perfect ending to a precious carol. I want to share my favorite version of The Little Drummer Boy. It's by Four King and Country. The leaders of the band, Joel and Luke Smallbone, two Australian brothers whose family moved to the States, now reside in Nashville. And they are oh so talented. With 5 drummers for King and Country, they are quite the rhythmic Christian band. The message of The Little Drummer Boy resonated with them, so they recorded this version in 2020. And they were puzzled why no one thought of adding drums to the carol. The young drummer in this video is Luke Smallbone's son. Paul, if you'll play this video for us, I encourage you to pay careful attention to the ending. Any given day, we may find ourselves feeling like Moses or the disciples, inadequate for the task, or the Samaritan woman struggling with shame, therefore disqualified, or the drummer boy empty with no gift to bring. Know this and take heart. The Lord loves broken vessels. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifice acceptable to God is broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. He chose to place this treasure in these clay jars, in yours and mine, because his light can be seen in the broken places. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for trusting us with this treasure, the good news of Jesus. We have a hurting world that desperately needs to know you, your love, your grace, and your mercy. Use us, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that you would show each person here today the gifts that you've given them, what you've placed in this, the treasure that you've placed within them to share to this world. Use us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close and go out from here, I want to encourage us, invite people to come and see. Okay, we don't have to have like this 3 points in a poem to share with someone. Just say, come and see. Come and see. Come and experience the Lord. We're going to have our Christmas service next Sunday night. It's going to be very simple. It's going to be like coming into a living room because we're going to meet in the fellowship hall around tables. Very chill. Jesus came to show us the way home. So I'm going to pray a blessing on us, and just as you go about your day, just remember, all you have to say is come and see. That's what, isn't that what Andrew said to Peter? Come and see, right? So, Lord, we thank you that you invite us to come. You invite us to bring our whole selves and just give ourselves to you. And you show, if as we show up, we find that you're already there. And you take the little that we think we are. But you said you created us in your image. We are bearers of the image of God, created to reflect the glory of God. Lord, that is an awesome, awe-inspiring, frightening, huge thing for us. And you just say, come. So would you help us to hear your come every day, to come to you just as we are, to come to show up in our lives, to show up for ourselves, to show up for you, to show up for others, and then simply say come to others. Come and see. Come and experience the goodness, the kindness, the grace, and the glory of God. You've created us for relationship with you, so we come. We want to give all praise, honor, and glory to you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Go in peace.